when we protest the gospel out into the midst of the congregation, we all turn toward the gospel. And then we all turn back toward the altar as we watch the gospel book return. And on a morning like this morning, when the gospel passage makes so little sense, you all turn toward me, and I think, why? Why are you doing this? What do you owe? What do you owe? What do you owe to the world? What do you owe to God? What do you owe to one another? In the local news of Minnesota this weekend, you may have heard the story of Terry Olson. Maybe you read it in the paper, maybe you heard it on the news, that on Friday he walked out of Stillwater Prison after serving 11 years for the murder of Jeff Hamill, who he maintained from the beginning that he had not murdered, and who, after 11 years in prison, the Innocence Project of Minnesota helped reach the conclusion that, in fact, he had not, and that it had been a tragic accident, more likely than not. And the courts declared that he could be released for time served. Not, it is worth noting here, declared innocent, but released for time served. And so he walked out into the larger world for the first time in 11 years. And all the pictures that you see are of him going to the nursing home where his mother lives and being with her again for the first time in such a long time. And over again, reporters asked him, you can see the whole crowd of reporters, why? Why didn't you hold out for innocence? Why didn't you wait and fight and let these lawyers who were working on your behalf fight for you until someone said, yes, you are right, you are innocent? Why go for time served? Why not stand up for what you know is true? And over again, Terry Olson said, I want to see my mother before she dies. That's all I care about. And I'm free. And that's enough. It doesn't matter what the courts say. It doesn't matter what people around me say. I'm here with my mother. That's what matters. What do you owe? This morning's gospel has been interpreted 1,000 ways by 1,000 people. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't even sound like Jesus. Luke has all these trappings around it, this children of the light nonsense. Well, that sounds like John, but not Jesus and Luke. All this stuff, and then tacking all these sayings on the end as if maybe if this saying doesn't explain it, the next five will. Surely it is better to add another saying if I can't explain what's going on. So frustrating, so strange, such a weird, weird little story. What was Jesus doing with this parable? You can see the disciples scratching their heads. You can see the Pharisees enraged as usual. You can see the whole crowd. What is going on here? What is with this wealthy man and his dishonest manager? You can understand the facts of the story, right? You can maybe even picture yourself as the dishonest manager. And certainly that's one of the more common interpretations, right? Is that God is the wealthy man, we are the dishonest manager, and it is our job to do the best we can with what is entrusted to us by God. Totally legitimate explanation. Does it make much sense in terms of the dishonest manager's actual actions? Not so much. Does it make much sense in terms of this puzzling statement by Jesus that if we make friends with the wealth that we have on this earth, it will somehow earn us heaven? Not so much. Another possible interpretation is that this is Jesus pointing out how little the Pharisees honor what the Torah says. That the Torah says absolutely under no circumstances charge interest. Well, clearly the wealthy man, perhaps the Pharisees, were in the practice of allowing people to charge interest and to ruin other people with debt. Definitely against the Torah. Sure, fine. But it still doesn't make sense to us. It bothers us. Such a confusing passage. And we can't really square ourselves into any one of the roles in those traditional interpretations. We're uncomfortable with being the dishonest manager. Parts of that feel congruent. Parts of it probably don't. We're uncomfortable with the idea that God would be painted as a wealthy man. The whole thing just doesn't hang together. It's a parable. If we know anything about Jesus' parables, we know that they don't make sense. So what if we turn it upside down? What if we flip it inside out? Steve Garnes Holmes suggests, what if Jesus is the dishonest manager? I see those raised eyebrows. I do. What if Jesus is the dishonest manager? What if all that wealth that's being managed is God's love? Jesus says to us over and over again, God's love is limitless. And you know what? The disciples don't believe him. We don't believe him. The people in Galilee don't believe him. The Pharisees certainly don't believe him. Because we can't imagine that all of that love would be ours for nothing. And yet Jesus shows it over and over again, healing people who don't deserve to be healed, eating with people who certainly don't deserve to have someone important to eat with them, talking with people by the side of the road, turning the world upside down to show that God's love is limitless. So what if here Jesus is the dishonest manager? What if Jesus is standing in front of every single one of us saying, what do you think you owe God? What's your bill? A 100 jugs of olive oil? Nothing. 100 bales of wheat? Nothing. All the obligation and guilt and shame and debt that you carry in your heart, nothing. You don't owe God anything. That love is free. Who cares what the world thinks? Who cares if you're innocent? Who cares if you're guilty? God doesn't care. God loves you. You don't owe anything. Take that with you for an hour. Just for an hour. Put down that spiritual baggage that you carry. Put down that shame. Put down that guilt. Let go of that sense of duty and obligation. Just for an hour. I'm not asking you to give up your Protestant work ethic for a whole day. God loves you. You don't owe anything for that love. How does that feel? Garnet Holmes asks, does that make you feel welcome in the eternal home? What do you owe? Nothing. Be welcome into God's love. Amen.